Welcome to Simply Scottish, a podcast of all things Scottish, with music, features, interviews, and more, on the web at www.simplyscottish.com.
Welcome to Simply Scottish. I'm your host, Andrew McDermott. It's easy to stay in touch. Drop me an email at podcast@simplyscottish.com. That's podcast@simplyscottish.com. You can also join other listeners on our Facebook page, where you'll see episode updates, Scottish trivia and photos, and a chance every month to win free Scottish music. That's our Facebook page at facebook.com/simplyscottish. To learn more about the show and listen to previous episodes, visit our website, www.simplyscottish.com. The 2012 Pixar Disney animated movie Brave is a fairy tale set in 10th century Scotland. It tells the story of Merida, a skilled archer who defies age-old custom and causes chaos in her family's kingdom. This week we discuss more of Scotland's myths, legends and folklore in part two of a series. First, here's music from Scottish piper Fred Morrison, bringing together the sounds of bagpipes and bluegrass. This is Train Journey North from his album Outlands. Thank you. listening to Simply Scottish. As mentioned in part one of this series, Scotland is an ancient land, and it's no surprise that it has a rich tradition of folklore, mythology, and legends to accompany its history. In part one, we looked at the contributions of Scottish poet James Macpherson, who gathered fragments of ancient folklore together. We also talked about Scotland's mythological creatures, including the Kelpie, the Selkie, and Loch monsters like Morag and Nessie. Today we turn our attention to more of Scotland's myths and legends. Robert the Bruce was King of Scots from 1306 to his death in 1329. He was a great warrior and led Scotland during the Wars of Independence against England. He is a descendant of Robert de Bruce, who was given the estates of Annandale in 1124 by King David I. His mother, Marjorie, Countess of Carrick, descended from the Gaelic Earls of Carrick. She was a strong, determined lady, and according to legend, held Bruce's father captive after he returned from a crusade, refusing to release him until he agreed to marry her. Bruce knew his family had a strong claim to the throne. In 1304, Bruce's father died. Scotland was losing its war against Edward I of England and was at the brink of civil war. Bruce was crowned king at Scone in 1306. His reign did not begin well. Many of his family members were captured and imprisoned, and one of his brothers was killed. His disorganized forces were unable to turn the tide, and he fled to the Highlands and Islands. According to legend, Bruce, at his lowest point, took shelter in a cave or hut, dejected and dispirited. While there, he watched a spider try 6 times to cast his thread from one beam to another, failing every time. On the 7th try, the spider succeeded, inspiring Bruce to redouble his efforts and keep going. 18th century poet Bernard Barton tells the story this way in his poem Bruce and the Spider. 6 times the gossamery thread the wary spider threw. In vain the filmy line was sped, for powerless or untrue, each aim appeared, and back recoiled, the patient insect 6 times foiled, and yet unconquered still. And soon the Bruce, with eager eye, saw him prepare once more to try his courage, strength, and skill. One effort more, his 7th and last, the hero hailed the sign, and on the wished-for beam hung fast that slender silken line. Slight as it was, his spirit caught the more than omen, for his thought the lesson well could trace, which even he who runs may read, that perseverance gains its meed, and patience wins the race. One more legend about Bruce, and more of Scotland's myths and legends when we return. Here's an arrangement of Loch Lomond, sung by a cappella quartet, Real Time.
By yon bonny banks and by yon bonny braes, where the sun shines bright on Loch Lomond, where me and me true love were ever wont to go, on the bonny, bonny banks o' Loch Lomond. Oh, you take the high road and I'll take Scotland afar ye, but me and my true love will never meet again on the bonny, bonny banks o' Loch Lomond. 'Twas there that we parted in yon shady glen, on the steep, steep sides of Ben Lomond, where deep in purple hue the highland hills we view. coming out in the gloaming. Oh, I'll take the high road, and I'll take the low road, and I'll be in Scotland afore ye. But me and me true bonny, bonny banks o' Loch Lomond. The wee birdies sing, and the wild flowers spring, and in sunshine the waters lie sleeping. But the broken heart will ken second spring again, and the world knows not how we are grieving.
Die, 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 die,
I'll take the high road, and I'll take the low road, and I'll be in Scotland before ye. But me and me true love will never meet again on the bonny, bonny banks of the Lomond.
But me and my true love will never meet again on the bonny, bonny banks of Loch Lomond.
Which story from Scotland's myths, legends, and folklore is your favourite? Visit our Facebook page, facebook.com/simplyscottish, and tell us what you think. Shortly before his death in 1329, Robert the Bruce asked that his heart be carried into battle on a crusade, as he himself had not been able to go on one. Sir James Douglas carried Bruce's heart with him to Spain in 1330. Douglas was killed in a battle against the Moors, and a comrade brought Bruce's heart back to Scotland. According to legend, it's buried in Melrose Abbey. During excavations in 1921, a 10-inch conical casket was discovered at the abbey and examined. Historic Scotland, caretakers of the property, have said that although it is not possible to prove absolutely that it's Bruce's heart, it's reasonable to assume that it is. A stone plaque marks the spot at Melrose Abbey where Bruce's heart is buried. The inscription, on the stone, from John Barber's The Bruce, reads, "A noble heart may have no ease, gif freedom fail ye," which, translated, means, "A noble heart cannot be at peace if freedom is lacking." When it comes to legends, one of the most popular is the legend of King Arthur and his court. Stories of Arthur, Guinevere, Camelot, Avalon, and Excalibur have endured for centuries and may be the most famous example of English royalty and romance. But was Arthur English or Scottish? A Scottish historian, Hugh MacArthur, says that historical evidence is pointing to the legend being based on Arthur, a 6th century warband leader that ruled over Strathclyde, a kingdom of Welsh-speaking Britons that stretched from Loch Lomond in Scotland down to North Wales. He says a likely location for Avalon, the holy island where Arthur received his famous sword and was later taken after being mortally wounded, is on Loch Lomond. Historians believe Arthur's main battles, chronicled by 9th century Welsh monk Nennius, were fought nearby. MacArthur says the real Queen Guinevere was a Pictish noblewoman, born and bred in Scotland. One reason why the legend of King Arthur may have moved southward over time is that the people did. The Welsh-speaking Britons in southern Scotland were gradually pushed out of Scotland by the Picts. As the people and language retreated into modern-day Wales and Cornwall, the stories went with them, and local landmarks became part of the stories. And as with all storytelling, it's about who's telling it. Certain parts of Arthur's warfare and struggles to convert pagan tribes may have been edited or changed by those who didn't want to be associated with bloodshed. With several cultures laying claim to Arthurian legend, it may be impossible to say with certainty where it all began. But isn't that often the case with myths and legends? The truth gets lost in history. Up next, a look at the Stonehenge of the North, the Callanish Standing Stones. And more on Brave, the animated film that's making lots of people curious about Scottish history and culture. Right now, you're listening to The Spirit of Excalibur from the album Avalon, a Celtic Legend. Then it's Carolyn Curry with a song called Standing Stones.
Stones, weeping black, tired of the tumbling. end up standing forever, cold as the wind off the sea. Stand up, standing forever, a sentinel silent and pray. Free from the water, free from its foam, free from the weariness deep in the bones. But here on the moors, I've frozen the tracks with my face to the sea and the hills at my back. Weary stumps, weeping light, tired of the tumbling tides. Standing stones used to move under gray, heavy skies. Weary stones, weeping light, tired of the tumbling tides.
This is Simply Scottish, available on iTunes and at simplyscottish.com. On this episode, part two of a series exploring Scotland's myths, legends and folklore. The animated film Brave is a 2012 production from Pixar Animation and Disney Studios. While previous Pixar films have sparked the imagination with talking toys, cars, animals and superhero families, they venture into new territory with Brave, the story of a young princess in medieval Scotland who upsets the balance in her father's kingdom and has to find the bravery and wherewithal to set the record straight. The film is a fairy tale based loosely on a number of Scotland's myths and legends. It stars an almost completely Scottish voice cast, including Kelly MacDonald, Emma Thompson, Billy Connolly, Craig Ferguson, Kevin McKidd and Robbie Coltrane. Scottish composer Patrick Doyle scored the music, and the soundtrack also features songs from Scottish Gaelic singer Julie Fowlis. Scotland's national tourist organisation, Visit Scotland, launched an unprecedented advertising campaign and joined forces with Disney to promote tourism to Scotland with the film. It's the first time Disney has worked with a country's tourism organisation on such a scale. On the Isle of Lewis, on Scotland's Outer Hebrides, you'll find the Callanish Standing Stones, near the village of Callanish. These Stone Age monuments are said to be between 4,500 and 5,000 years old. The site consists of 13 primary stones in a circle and a row of shorter stones to the north and south and to the east and west. In the centre of the circle stands the tallest stone, marking the entrance to a burial cairn. Many say the standing stones form some sort of astronomical observatory. Every 18.6 years, the moon skims especially low over the southern hills, making it seem to dance along the stones and illuminate a sacred landscape. Since the 17th century, the stones have been called false men, and around 1680, John Morrison wrote that it is left by tradition that these were a sort of men converted into stone by an enchanter. Others affirm that they were set up in places for devotion. Indeed, the stones could well have been used by Celtic druids and their followers. There are also some who suggest a connection with Greek mythology. The Greek legend of Hyperborea describes a spherical temple on a faraway northern island, where the god Apollo skims the earth at a very low height. The legend also states that this island was the birthplace of Leto, the mother of Apollo. This could relate to a local legend that calls the hills near the Standing Stones Sleeping Beauty, or the Old Woman of the Moors. Whatever the true origins and uses over time, the Callanish Standing Stones are a testament to human ingenuity and a great excuse for a visit to Scotland's beautiful Hebridean Islands. That's it for this episode of Simply Scottish. Access a music playlist and more information about Scottish myths and legends on our website, www.simplyscottish.com. Between episodes, be part of our Scottish community at facebook.com/simplyscottish. I'm Andrew McDermott. Join us next time for more of all things Scottish on Simply Scottish.
Simply Scottish is hosted and produced by Andrew McDermott. Show content is copyright 2012, Simply Scottish Media. All music used with consent of copyright holders. Continue your Simply Scottish experience on the web at www.simplyscottish.com. Thanks for listening.